constant yearning for more, more, more. And, to me, that feels a bit like a big slap in the face to this all-providing, all-nourishing universe and our ridiculously nurturing, patient, and generous planet we call home. Right? So why, oh why, aren't most people having a very good time? The answer? Because most people on this planet are completely, entirely, utterly, and disgracefully missing the point. We are missing the point. It's that simple. And the good news is we are in luck, because a divine and timely shift is here. A tilt, we shall call it. We've reached the time of our human evolution when we are experiencing a shift from the very masculine world to a more feminine world. You can find teachers globally across all fields who are arriving at the same conclusion, as if the message is being sent to us all. Just check out the works of Jean Houston, Deepak Chopra, and Matt Kahn, to name a few. Nikita Moore, personal growth aficionado, says it best. The divine feminine is rising. The masculine and feminine energies are realigning and returning to a proper cyclic balance of ceaseless motion to bring about peace, harmony, and a new world order. We are moving from the world of do this, achieve this, win this, decide this, act like this, analyze this, do more, achieve more, be more, earn more, have more, compete more, more and more and more until you die. To a world of slow down, take a pause, breathe for a minute, look around, trust your gut, it's enough, play today, turn your phone off, chew your food, let life in, say no when you mean no, say yes when you mean yes. It's time to welcome the rise of the divine feminine, because it's here. It's time to tune in, take a pause, and pay attention to how you're really feeling. The Age of Doing. As a millennial, I caught the tail end of the masculine times. For a long time, I was entrenched in the mentality that life was about doing. How grand can my resume look? How many goals can I kick? How much more can I fit into my day? Relax, really? Who has time to relax? I'll sleep when I'm dead. My age of doing was valid and very much supported that phase of my life, my work ethic, and my pursuit for excellence, all of which earned me a first-class honors degree and a seven-figure income by the time I was 26. No argument there. However, I got to a point in my life where I had two businesses, shared a beautiful life with my husband between the US and Australia, and we enjoyed every freedom and privilege in the world. But every single day was spent racing around as if I was absolutely worthless if I was not racing around. I lived in a constant state of action. Can't stop, won't stop, get it. Whether it was spending my hours and energy teaching the new way, or exercising my passion for the planet, or contributing to my many philanthropies, I was always on the pursuit for more. So what's wrong with that, you ask? Well, nothing, except that I was missing the point. I was eating my food with my phone in my hand. I would eat a meal without taking notice of one single taste or texture of what I ate. I barely chewed my food. I read pages of books, and I couldn't have told you one single thing I read. I would say bye to my husband in the morning while doing something else. Preparing my workspace, feeding the dogs, working out. I'd smooch him mid-shoulder press. Meanwhile, mentally processing every one of the 22 things I wanted to get done that day. I scrolled through Instagram while I talked on the phone with my friends. I told people that I'm too busy. So much so that it got to the point that everyone in my life began their messages to me with, I know you're busy, but... I counted down the minutes to the end of my workouts, throwing weights around just so I could burn more fat, so I could consume more calories, so I could eat more food that I wasn't even chewing. I would raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for a charity I love, but I couldn't stand still long enough to enjoy the feeling of giving. I was always, always on to the next thing. And there was always a next thing. Yeah, I was achieving big things, a thriving organization, keynoting left and right, crushing my goals, and being asked to be in movies. Sure, I was. But every night, as soon as my head hit the pillow, no matter how early or late, I would lie in bed and count the many, many things I did that day, making a mental record of all that I had achieved and all that I had given. I felt empty every single night. So I had to keep going, because something was certainly missing. It wasn't until 2016 when the universe showed me exactly what it was. I was in the gym, blowing through my workout and burning calories, when my soul gave me the nudge. Babes, why the fuck are you doing this workout if you don't enjoy one second of it? Isn't that the whole point of creating this life and teaching these people all of this exciting stuff? Aren't you supposed to be enjoying your days? I didn't have an answer back then, but in the months to follow, in almost every single one of my journaling sessions, my soul would remind me of something. Babes, she calls me babes because she's rad. Just put your to-do list down for a minute. Your vibration is your greatest gift to yourself and to the planet and its people. How you're feeling matters more than what you're doing. Toward the end of the year, when I was preparing to host the New Way Live in Sydney, Australia, I knew I had my theme. Stop missing the point. This was the new message I was going to deliver to 500 young, conscious entrepreneurs, those who are the ones to show the world how good it's really meant to be. Be the one to show the world how good it's really meant to be. If you've ever received an email from me, you'll see that line at the bottom. It's my truth, and I believe it in every cell of my being, that we are the ones to show the world how good it's really meant to be. You are the one to show the world how good it's really meant to be. I am the one to show the world how good it's really meant to be. Because being born in these times means that you are of the generation made of DNA and cosmic wirings that equip us to do this exact job on Earth. Present the world with a new, exciting, astronomical vision, an example for how differently we can live, how we can take the lead on our lives and stop answering to superiors, how many offices we can have on beaches around the world, how we can completely change the story of money and how it works in our communities, how we can redefine success and ditch the old model, the endless capacity we each have to create epic shit, how we can create conscious companies and organizations and art that surprises and delights the world, how we can stand up and fight for our Mother Earth with more fierceness than ever, and most importantly, how we can push the boundaries on human potential like never before. Think Elon Musk 2.0. And right there, within this message, the one I'd been sharing for years, is where I checked myself. I could absolutely show the world how good it's really meant to be, but could I show the world how good it's really meant to feel? Yes, I had to, because I was done missing the point, and there was no way I was going to let my fellow generation of rad, badass, ridiculously wild, and heart-centered game changers miss the point either. When we feel good, we raise our vibration, and when we raise our vibration, we are more like Mother Earth. Raise your vibration. Many of us know that Mother Earth needs us now more than ever. Climate change is real. Our indigenous tribes and native land is being threatened. Land is being dug up for the purpose of profit. It's snowing less where it used to snow more. Species of animals are becoming extinct. Islands are sinking. Forests are disappearing. There are more people than ever right now fighting for our planet, and rightly so. She is the mother of all mothers, with billions of devoted, loving, and adoring children who want to protect her. Humanity is evolving and figuring out how to unify after centuries of separation. We want to act, move, do, create, conquer, and challenge. We feel that action is our greatest gift to our Mother Earth. Yet Mama Earth is patiently, but urgently, commanding that we do things differently for her. Our gorgeous Mama Earth is a fifth dimensional being. If that just got too woo-woo for you, look at it this way. Earth is vibrating on an entirely different level than most of us. And in order for us to help and heal our planet, we must collectively raise our vibration to meet hers. Changemakers, remember this. Our action is invaluable. But when action is not coupled with our alignment and our good feels, it's not half as powerful as it can be. Action and alignment is the secret sauce. Whenever any action is out of alignment, then we are missing the point and living at a lower vibration. In your pursuit for harmony out there, don't forget your pursuit for harmony in here. Taps chest. As much as we are in pursuit for harmony with our planet, we cannot lose the pursuit of harmony with each other. Judgment, animosity, blame, and jealousy are all lower vibrations that separate us from our mother. When we judge people because they don't eat like us, we drop. When we overwork ourselves to the bone and it doesn't feel good, we drop. When we go an entire day without actually noticing the sky or the grass or our own breath, we drop. During our fights, our pursuits, and our endless charges for change, we are dropping our vibration. History shows us how that makes sense. Here we are holding on to so much masculine residue that still feels good to many parts of us. It's still in our blood. But as we move into the divine feminine, what the planet really asks of us right now is to raise our vibration. Our opportunity to thrive and align is purely energetic. All of the solutions we're looking for to make the world better are up there. The harmony we want between humans and the earth is up there. The humility to truly be on the same team, that crazy sick conscious enterprise idea, those divine orchestrations that literally flip our world in an instant, they're all up there. So much of what we're looking for, wishing for, and wanting for ourselves and for the planet is just on a different energetic altitude to us right now. Let's move up. You want to be a solution to this planet? Then don't let anything you see in the world rob you of your smile. Matt Kahn. When we remind ourselves that our greatest gift to our planet is our vibration, it makes it a lot easier to smile as if it's our job. That doesn't mean that you spiritually bypass the fact that you feel hurt, sad, or totally raging when these emotions come. But for most of the day, when those emotions are not there, where's your vibe at? Are you getting the point, or are you missing it? Feel good. I dare ya. Feeling good is the way, not the result. How you feel is more important than what you do. I repeat, how you feel is more important than what you do. I'm going to say it again. How you feel is more important than what you do. One more time. Hey, I like the sound of my own voice, don't you? Hear yourself. Say it out loud with me. How you feel is more important than what you do. Feeling good is just as much our job as doing good. Feeling good is what raises our vibration. The moment I learned this truth, the power of feeling good, was the moment everything about my life changed. It all started with a cup of cacao. I had a cup of cacao every single day. And what on earth was the reason for this? Drinking warm cacao drinks made me feel very good. That was it. That was the only reason. At around 10 a.m. each morning, it was like a ceremony. The warmth, the ritual, the little jolt of, you are the most creatively badass mofo on the planet, so text everyone you love and tell them you love them. That comes with the first two sips. It was a little day maker for me, every single day. I had always been so disciplined, and sometimes it was at the expense of feeling good, or it was in pursuit of feeling good, but later. Not anymore. Feeling good was my new priority, and it caught on like wildfire, which was sparked by a warm cup of cacao. For years upon years, society has looked at feeling good as the end result. The end and not the means. Lose weight and you'll feel better. Meet Mr. or Mrs. Right and you'll be happy. Make this amount of money and you'll feel worthwhile. Sign up for this program and you'll achieve something. Do this, that, the other thing, all the things, everything, and only then will you feel good. These are the rules about happiness that we have been following for centuries. Rules that have been supported by people who have completed all of the actions in the effort to incite good feelings. If we do something, then we will feel something good. That is until that decidedly temporary good feeling subsides and we are left empty. Next thing you know, it's back to the crazy pursuit and back into the rat race for the next feel good thing we can do. But oh, how have we gotten it so very wrong? We take an action, then we seek a feeling. We act, then we feel. First act, then feel. Act, feel. Act, feel. This cycle puts us on a wheel like a hamster, running ourselves into a tizzy in search of the next action we can take to create something good we can feel. Round and round and round. It's a sick cycle. Is there any wonder we're waking up to the fact that this work all week doing something that doesn't feel good so you can earn 2 days on the weekend that do feel good is a damaging model of success that teaches us that we have to earn our basic right to feel good? We have to burn out in order to feel like we're working hard enough to earn feeling good. we have to overwork in order to feel accomplished enough, and then we can feel good? We have to quit traveling for 5 years straight so we can get a mortgage and buy a house, so then we can feel real good? It's no surprise that people lose their love for food when they follow a strict eating plan for 6 days a week so they can enjoy a cheat meal that feels good on the seventh. We are taught that feeling good is the reward and the outcome. Feeling good has become embedded in our goals. But I have some very good news. You do not have to complete an action, score the goal, get a promotion, buy the car, win the lottery to earn it. You can feel good right now, right this very second. Now that you know this, feeling good best become your numero uno priority. Let nothing else come before it. In fact, stop and ask yourself what you can do that would make you feel good right now. Could you clear your schedule, call your friend, walk your dog, kiss your kid, stop doing those brutal workouts? And now a quote by Paul Hawken. Always leave enough time in your life to do something that makes you happy, satisfied, even joyous. That has more of an effect on economic well-being than any other single factor. When you feel good, you found your vibration, your alignment. You live in that sweet spot where you're not floating on an oblivious cloud of, I am a fairy, real life doesn't apply to me. But you're grounded in reality, making choices that help you thrive and feel good today, not next March. I'm sure you've seen good vibes on a singlet worn by hipsters and yogis, even anyone who wants to get in on the trend. But good vibes aren't just two hipster words that you say after nailing some barrels in Margaret River. Good vibes is the result of you choosing to feel good and choosing to design your life around what makes you feel good. Good vibes is high vibration. I'd just like to pause and encourage you while you're listening to this audiobook to follow along with a hardcover copy of the book, because I've drawn a lot of hand-drawn, childlike pictures throughout the book that help to illustrate the points that I'm making. First, feel. Before you kick back and think the hard work is over, like all you have to do is find the time to sip on your favorite warm beverage, though you can do that, I'm here to tell you that the feeling good is not laziness or entitlement or anti-effort or anti-work. Binging on a Netflix series could be a lazy pleasure, or it could be feeling good because you require some time out from your wild, fun, creative projects. Actually, acknowledging and celebrating when and how you feel good is a level of work that becomes necessary in order for your actions to generate the most good. Here we are asked to shift the paradigm, out with the old ways. No more acting and then feeling. We are here to feel. First, feel the good feeling and then take an action. First feel, then act. Feel, then act. Feel, act. Feel, act. Everything we want, wish, or aim for, including harmony on earth, comes zipping at us at lightning speed when we are feeling good. Feeling good becomes the point, all of the time. I didn't say feeling elated or ecstatic is the point. It's simply feeling good. Our feeling good is like a highway. Everything that travels on it is swift and moves fast and goes in one direction. I'm sure you've had those days that start off feeling good. You take the time to put on some oils, your favorite music, and you make yourself your fave breakfast, oatmeal with banana and cinnamon. As you get ready for the day, you're humming and bopping about to music. Music is always a day maker for you. You look in your emails just before you leave the house and see a subject line of good news. The traffic on your way to work is surprisingly light, and you get every green light there is. You listen to a podcast on the way there, and you hear that exact thing you felt like you needed to hear. It's not even 8:30 a.m., and your feeling good is leading to more feeling good. At lunchtime, you find a new funky cafe with the best menu, and they have a vegan Caesar salad. No way. The afternoon is pure fire. You crank through your work at the cafe, having so much fun with it. You don't even think to check your phone, not like some other days when you can't write two sentences without an Insta scroll. Sitting next to you in the cafe is a woman who leans over and asks what you're working on. You tell her, and she says, oh, wow, we were meant to sit next to each other today because I'm looking for someone like you to collaborate with. You get home and the sun is shining, so you go for a walk with your phone off, with no guilt. Later that evening, you just feel so spacious. So you watch a documentary without that usual remorse you feel when you do something that makes you feel good, when you should be answering emails. Everything is good. Can you see how good feels invites good? When you're on the highway of feeling good, you're on your way to more good. Your world and the world responds to you. How does the domino effect begin? By you choosing and prioritizing the little things that make you feel good. Music in the morning, waking up a tad earlier so you can cook breakfast rather than eat on the run, leaving your phone off for a couple of hours in the morning so you don't have to be distracted by others, reading, taking the time to set your goals, work out, walk barefoot in nature, have sex, do yoga. Whatever it is, when you choose things that make you feel good, your vibration is sending energetic requests and instructions to the universe to say, "This is what I want. More of this, please." And the universe is more than happy to cooperate, 'cause, well, that's how it works. Good attracts good. Shitty attracts shitty. We can move with momentum in either direction. The universe doesn't judge you for feeling good. The universe does not think it's a shortcut. When you choose feeling good, the universe is on your side, giving you a standing O, just like a mum at her 10-year-old's dance recital, clapping feverishly and thinking, "Finally, she nailed it." The unkinked hose. Your alignment is everything. When you're in alignment, everything rendezvous for you. Abraham Hicks. Picture a garden hose connected to a wall. At one end is a supply of water, and at the other end is the spout where the water comes out. Turn the tap on. If you turn the tap on and leave it on, the water can flow freely and uninterrupted. That's just what water does. Pick up a bit of the hose and fold it or twist it, and the water slows or stops. You've kinked the hose. Now the plants have gone thirsty. Damn it. Imagine that you have a hose running through you. Not a rubber garden hose, but a shiny, light-filled, magical hose that runs from the sky right down to the roots in the earth and up through your body. At the very top, it's not just connected to the sky, but it's connected to God, the universe, source, spirit, the divine, whatever feels best for you. Up there is everything. All the resources in the world, all the color in the world, all the light, all of the ideas, insights, and solutions to your problems, all cosmic gifts, new opportunities, and exciting loves. You will find your clarity about what to do next up there. Your ideas that take you from this stage to that stage, they're up there. Everything you need is up there, and it all naturally flows down to the earth and through your shiny hose so that you can use these resources however you choose. This is a tap of divinity with the sole purpose of nourishing your joy, your adventure, and your brilliance. You know how water flows through an unkinked hose unhindered? Well, it's the same with your hose, which we call the tap. Everyone has one, and your tap's default mode is to flow through you unhindered and infinite. It is always on, and the source will never run out. To be living fully in your tap means that this divine cosmic magic is flowing through from this greater source without obstruction. This is your life force, your natural energy. Living in your tap is what we call your alignment. When we're here, things just happen. Opportunities surface, ideas make sense, people just show up, creativity comes, worlds collide. We feel good, as if we are effortlessly floating downstream, in sync with the flow of the universe. Living in the tap is when there is no rush and there is nothing stopping us. Living in your tap is when your ideas are so frequent there aren't enough notebooks in all of the stores in your suburb that would capture them all. Living in your tap is when issues and problems that you've tried to figure out just get cleared up magically as if it was all in your favor all along. Living in your tap is when you can write and speak about the shit that lights you up without second-guessing how good it sounds to a single other soul. Living in your tap is when you say yes when you mean yes, and know when you mean no, and that's the end of that story. Living in your tap is when there is absolutely nothing in your schedule or life that makes you screw your face up in angst. Living in your tap feels like you have somehow found yourself attached to a big party keg, and the funnel is always flowing through you. Only the keg doesn't have beer. It has boundless creativity, your next moves, energy to support your highest vibe, clarity, delight, and surprise, and it shines a light through your epic being that makes your vibration say, "Hey life, give me all the epic shit." And life does. And you think to yourself, "This must be too good to be true." Life smirks, and in its best movie voice says, "The glory of the tap belongs to those only who stop kinking their frickin' hose." Kinking the hose. But what we little humans tend to do with our tap is exactly what anyone can do to a garden hose. We kink it. We don't mean to. It's not on purpose. Often we don't even realize we're doing it. It just happens. And soon all of this infinite energy and cosmic magic is struggling to flow through us. Over time, if we don't find the kink, we begin to feel undernourished, losing any sense of ease or alignment. Our soul wants one thing, and we do the other thing. We begin doing, saying, being, and venturing into situations that are not in alignment with our soul, our higher self, or our vibration. That's a kinked hose. That's misalignment. You'll notice how humans everywhere have been taught that misalignment is noble and selfless. We receive praise for doing something that we don't want to do. We celebrate after forcing ourselves through something that doesn't feel good. No pain, no gain is one of the number one motivational phrases. How about no guts, no glory? Or strength and growth come only from continuous effort and struggle. That last one from Napoleon Hill, the legend. There are many places we humans force ourselves into misalignment. We borrow others' ideas of how it should be, how happy we are entitled to feel. What we should do to be a good person comes from someone else. Mum, dad, husband, wife, friends, everyone has their ideas of right, wrong, good, bad, noble, or whatever. But when we adjust our lives to fit into someone else's ideals, one kink after the other. We push forward on projects and commitments past a point that feels good. We feel ugh. We feel heavy, and often we are moving at a pace that isn't our own to keep up with. Success and wins on someone else's terms is a kinked hose. We accept others' projections, expectations, and demands of us. That feels easier than standing up for ourselves, saying no, or I choose this for me instead. And immediately, we are energetically punished for that decision. Cue tiredness and resentment. But we continue with what's easier. Again and again and again. Cue kinked hose. We feel endlessly obligated. We say yes because, well, I really should. Even though our soul is screaming at us, can you please just have this night off to snuggle up with a cup of tea and watch the TV show Suits? Obligation often comes from people to whom we are emotionally connected, and they put pressure on us. So we put pressure on ourselves. And the pressure kinks the hose. Obligation is a word that drops my vibe and sucks energy from my hose, just saying it. We people please. Choosing to make sure others are okay over ourselves. Yes, we all care so genuinely for people and want to always be there in whatever way they request from us. But then we forget this big truth. We cannot choose for other people. We can only choose for ourselves. Choose over you. And you kink your hose. This is another reminder here that there are illustrations in the written version of this book that will help you understand these concepts. Unkinking the hose. So how do I unkink my hose? I get that question almost daily, along with, but where do I begin? My simple answer is, you just do it. You don't need advice on how to unkink your kinks. After all, they're your kinks, so you're the master of them. If you kinked it, you can unkink it. When you pretend you don't know what you need to do to unkink your hose, chances are it's because you want to buy time until you have the courage. And that's okay, I totally get it. But the longer you wait, the kinkier the kink. The more important question to help you begin is, where are the kinks in your hose? That's a good place to start. And here is a little exercise to help. grab a journal. List all things, people, and commitments in your life that are currently kinking your hose. What parts of your life make your energy go down? You dread, avoid, or just make you feel less you? What do you do purely out of obligation? These are little kinks. This one can be fun, but do it in private. You never know if one of your kinks is sitting next to you. Write down a name next to the word kink, and Debbie at work rocks up to your desk with handcuffs. Debbie, you're a kink in my hose. I don't want to get kinky with you. Big difference, babes. Here are a handful of my small kinks. Commitments after 6 p.m., shopping malls, calls, emails, social media before I've had my creative, peaceful time in the morning, scrolling Facebook and Instagram mindlessly, gossiping, working with people who are super slow, inefficient, or incompetent. It sounds brutal, but think about it. Is it? Going to bed late? 9 p.m., what up? Loaning money? I prefer to just give. Overcommitting out of obligation or guilt? Ugh. When I don't see my chiro for a few weeks, getting on too many planes, and having house guests too long. Of course, there are some bigger kinks too, the ones that feel impossible and suffocating, as if this one kink could be cutting off your whole source. When I moved to Scottsdale and missed Australia like mad, I found a big kink. Living in a city where there is hardly any healthy plant-based food, clean air, a vibing cafe culture, and access to the ocean. I felt like my soul was sad, and all I wanted to do was turn around and come home. I thrive when I can walk down the street, visit cafes full of healthy plant-based food and high creative vibes, just like in Australia. I miss the beach culture, super relaxed, but very creative, like in Oz. I live for feeling a part of a community, of people who share the similar values and views, like in Oz. These elements of life were not a reality for me in Scottsdale. I unkinked this kink by acknowledging my life in Scottsdale and working with my husband to create a life where we could both thrive in our work and in our marriage between the two countries and all around the world. And now we are. We have a home in Bondi Beach, Sydney, that we spend time in each year and where we will give birth to our starseed soul. Geographical location can be a big kink. That takes time. But with recognition and commitment, you can unkink it. Write down your biggest kink. I have had people run up to me at events and send me emails saying, "Peter, my whole life is a kink. How do I unkink it?" I always remind them of their power because they know their kinks better than anyone. It helps to answer two questions. What is the greatest, most pressing kink? And how can you slowly unkink it? Which kinks require the most courage to unkink? Now take a step back. Plan out the unkinking for the bigger kinks, like moving cities, dumping your boyfriend or girlfriend, or buying out your business partner. First, work with the smaller kinks. Just rip the band-aid. Unkink them right now. It will take courage, but it's all in your power. Your yoga studio is moldy? Try out the new one. You eat too much sugar at night? Eat something different. You don't want to learn Japanese online anymore? Find a human to teach you, if you must learn it. Ain't nobody got time for kinks. Because when your hose is unkinked, you can water more plants. When your hose is kinked, you can't water anything. Remember that. So now that you know, can you unkink your hose a little bit? You have access to absolutely everything you even think you need. Your tap is your supply of infinite resources, and it's not your job to wonder if they're there for you. It's your job to get into the tap, stay in the tap, and intentionally unkink any kinks that will slow your flow. P.S. Kinks will happen. Sometimes you're meant to be kinky for a long while, but as long as you know how to unkink, that unkinking will get you back into the tap. In the tap, you're all good. You have access to everything. An unkinked hose feels like the freedom to know your version of enough. Take a pause, any kind of pause, at any kind of time, and not beat yourself up for it. Light, speed, clarity. The freedom to not set huge radical business goals just because everyone else is. because it's just not your time to overhustle. Spaciousness. The freedom to politely decline the request in your inbox in two short sentences and zero guilt, even though the person is really nice and I should just do it. Knowing without second guessing. The freedom to evolve on from a business that just isn't vibing with your soul anymore, because your soul does not need to justify it any more than that. Crazy good ideas and downloads coming out of nowhere, but somewhere, your unkinked tap. The freedom to post on Facebook and without needing to check your phone afterwards for 6 hours to see who commented and approved. Effortlessly clear guidance and intuition and the knowing that you can trust it. The freedom to be in the gratitude and joy of your life without worrying about when it's all going to turn to shit. It feels like you had a scoop of creative, connected, charismatic badassery in your morning smoothie. Delish. Know your gatekeepers. Your values and boundaries are the gatekeepers to your alignment. Whether it's on a big scale, like speaking at an event, or on a very small scale, like going out on a cold night when you're already snuggled in your PJs, you have to follow your honest-to-goodness, deep down in your core, yes. In most cases, no one means any harm requesting things of you, sharing their opinions with you, or telling you what you should and shouldn't do. It's not even a case of bad versus good. It's just that their alignment is not matching up with your alignment at that moment in time. And this is exactly why you must be the advocate for and the protector of your own alignment. Finding your alignment is the most important thing you can do for yourself, because there is no one else on this earth that can ever know what your alignment is. Nobody, I repeat, nobody can choose your alignment for you. That's why it has to be your job, and choosing your own alignment doesn't come easy. Don't let the smoothness of the word alignment throw you off the ruthlessness of it. Living in full alignment is the ballsiest thing you can do. In a world where everyone is speaking, moving, and requesting from their own vibration and perception, unless you prioritize your own alignment, you will be living according to others' needs. Alignment requires courage, and radical alignment requires the biggest set of balls around. Saying no to someone in your family when they're asking you to go on a family trip that you just do not want to go on. Saying no to a friend who asks you for money for the 8th time, even though they really need it. Telling your business partner that you are not taking calls before noon because that's now your creative time. Leaving the job, ending the relationship, moving from the city, turning your phone off. Every single one of those actions takes courage, and every single one of those actions puts you in your tap, in your alignment. Right about now, some of you might be thinking, so I just get to do what I want all the time? Like, I don't have to brush my teeth or go to work before 10 a.m. because I want to go surfing instead? To which I say, that yes, to some degree, you get to do what you want to do. However, I want to add that doing what you truly want, what is in your alignment, what puts you in your tap, is only possible when you are clear on your values. Your values are the gatekeepers of your alignment. They are the security guards that keep watch over your hose and say yes or no to choices. For example, you may not feel like going to work before 10 a.m. because the waves are pumping and YOLO, but you believe that practicing commitment, loyalty, and doing a great job is living in your alignment. So yes, I will go to work. Or you may not feel like eating a delicious salad for lunch when someone offers you a fried burrito with 7 pounds of cheese on it, but you believe that energizing food during the workday is far better than a momentary taste bud orgasm. So, no, I will not eat that burrito. I really don't feel like speaking at an event because I'm a hermit in the evenings, but I value, see, there it is, community and connection highly. So, yes, I will speak. It will feel so in alignment once I get there. You may not feel like spending the extra $20 to buy the same t-shirt, but ethically sourced and made from bamboo, but you really value sustainability and conscious enterprise. So, yes, it's always worth the extra money. What you feel like doing in the moment and what is in alignment with your values may not always be the same thing. This is why it's so critical that you know what's important to you and what you truly value. Your values do two big things. They act as your swift and efficient yes or no guide when making decisions, big and small. They protect your alignment, your smooth, unkinked hose. Small decisions are the hardest decisions, because the conglomeration of those small decisions is what becomes powerful enough to pull you out of alignment. Going to dinner with people you don't vibe with, drinking water from plastic bottles while cringing at the thought of BPAs and plastic in the ocean, packing your schedule so full you have no time to quiet down and read, are seemingly little decisions in the scope of life, but they are ruled by very big and powerful words. Fear, justification, doubt, lack, envy, judgment are just a few. Me, personally, I can sum up the root cause of my misalignment in one big, fat word, starting with the letter O, obligation. When this word, this mentality, becomes the ruler of my little or big decision-making world, then misalignment has an open invitation. Having clear values is as essential as having courage to unkink our hose. When we do not have clear values, we have no gatekeepers. When we have no gatekeepers, our hose is available to the general public and we run out, we run dry. There is a fine line between forcing ourselves to do something we aren't into and the duty of choosing something that lets our tap flow. Get clear on your values. Don't just choose values that sound good, pulling something you see on someone else's mission statement or copying words from your company's manifesto. Sure, words like integrity, honesty, creativity are fabulous and make great values. But pause and think. What do the words mean to you? What means the very most to you? Everyone has different gatekeepers. Some people value play more than they value organization. If you value play more than you value organization, when your tax bill needs to be finalized by next week, you may say yes to the weekend trip to Napa with your friends and take care of the tax bill next week. Easy! Whereas the person who values organization would say no, or would have at least done it 3 months prior, and feel happy to stay at home with plenty of space to get it done. Our values say yes or no for us. That's why it's so critical for us to know them. True values are independent of external circumstances. Everyone liking me, having as much money as so-and-so, or winning all the time, will not make for good gatekeepers. To be in tune with your alignment, your values must be unconditional and independent of external circumstances. And those gray areas are tricky and the reason why so many struggle with radical authenticity. Let's look at honesty as a value. You can choose to be honest at all times, regardless of anything. This is unconditional and independent of external circumstances. Something arises and your choice is, do I tell the truth or not? Your answer is clear. Yes, you tell the truth, regardless of whether the other person will like it or not, because honesty is your value. Now let's look at making others happy as a value. Your decision is affected by other, external, people's reactions, which is conditional. Something arises and your choice is, do I tell the truth or not? Your answer is, maybe. You tell the truth if it doesn't hurt someone's feelings, because making others happy is your value. Which gatekeeper do you think does a better job at protecting your alignment? Think about how good it feels to choose for you, to be able to have more access of the life force that's running through your tap, specifically for you. When we honor our values regardless of anything external, we have more energy to do what matters most. Remember that the people around you might not always love your alignment as much as you do. But that's because your alignment doesn't always equal the alignment of others. Lucky for you, you can choose your values and having other people feel stoked at my alignment doesn't have to be one of them. Four of my highest values are 1, alignment, making choices based on my soul's desires and the instruction I feel from my core. I know that when I am in my alignment, I am nicer, kinder, more efficient, more generous, more creative, and everyone around me benefits. 2, health, making choices that honor my body and show appreciation for her relentless service to me every single day. 3, community. Surrounding myself with those who nourish me and my family and being of service to those I am here to nourish. 4, authenticity. Speaking as I speak, writing how I write, being how I be without tailoring anything to suit an audience. Redefining values is not easy at first. It takes courage, just as it does to unkink your hose. You might cancel dinner with some friends because Tuesday nights are now salsa nights. And said friends might get all ugh on you. But it fades. You will see that living by your values show you who and what should be in your life. The more aligned you are, the more quickly the universe can rearrange your life so that your environment supports it. If you're anything like me, the people around me respect me more and appreciate me more when I honor my boundaries. Why? Because they care about me and want me to thrive, more than they want me to be a yes person to every request. And those that don't agree with my alignment, well, they're fine too, because my alignment is not dependent upon anyone agreeing with it. Ready to choose your gatekeepers? Grab your journal and ask yourself these 5 questions. Write them down. Let's get into the tap, your tap. Number 1, when are you the happiest? Number 2, if there was no right or wrong when it came to planning your schedule, what would be different about your day? Number 3, if you got a free pass to cancel any commitment in your life, would you need to use it? If so, what on? Number 4, what do you most value? Write as many as you want, but choose only the 5 that are non-negotiable. Number 5, now picture your values standing at the gate, protecting your alignment and your tap. What in your life is no longer allowed in? For example, bad eating habits, scrolling your phone late at night, a relationship. Now here's a little PK aside. Boundaries are your gatekeepers too. I feel this is an important add-on. Let's talk about family and alignment. It's not uncommon for people to leave a family event and feel shittier than when they got there. Families can bully people, guilt people, and force them into doing things that are not in their alignment. But it's family, so you show up every single time. It's family hierarchy, and we are bound by DNA and conditioned like a rulebook. It's too bad we can't have it our way. We could change the relationship and have a connection with our family that feels good on our terms. Wait, why don't we have it our way? 2 words, ruthless alignment. Yep, that would mean gathering up the balls to always choose ruthless alignment over guilt and obligation to family. Yeah, but you don't understand my family dynamic. I hear that a lot, to which I say, no, I don't. But choosing your family dynamic over your alignment is your choice. And if it's your choice, then you have to own the kinks that that choice is creating for you and stop complaining. I might have lost some friends on that one because it's pretty harsh. However, I repeat, stop complaining about the things you are not willing to change. Yes, your relationship with your family counts as one of them. You can recreate and re-choose how you participate in your relationship so that it feels good for you. But that goes against all my morals. Tough love again. That depends on if your morals are something you put before your alignment. Again, this is 100% your choice. For most of us, family is the toughest place on earth to practice our alignment. Here we are bound by DNA, by unwritten rules, and years and histories of stories and shoulds. If family is a kink for you, explore how you can unkink it. Do whatever you need to, and then you can return and you will notice how differently you feel about your family when you are operating from your open and healthy tap. You can love your family and still be in your own very important alignment. This was game-changing for me when I learned it recently. A couple of years ago, when I first moved to Arizona from Perth, Australia, my brother came to visit for 4 weeks. Great, I thought. I love my bro. He's so funny, super easy to be around, and one of my best friends. But soon into the 4 weeks, I was thinking, great, really? My brother had done nothing, except scroll his phone a lot. But having him in my space for so long turned me into an annoying nag. the type of nag that would definitely piss me off if I were on the other end. Ben, don't park the car like that. The sun gets on the seats. Ben, why put a carton in the fridge if the eggs are all gone? Ben, who are you expecting to wash your plate? I was the same when my mom and sisters visited with Ben too. I turned into the frickin' home police. Whose charger is this? Don't forget to turn the TV off. Don't use all the vegan shakes, guys, because the new ones don't come until Tuesday. Yep, I wasn't that. Don't worry, guys, I'll clean it up, kind of host when it came to my family. I hated being in nag mode. Here my family was, visiting me in the USA, all the way from Australia, and I was more concerned with whether or not they put their shoes away. I was never as laid back, happy, and present as I would have loved to have been. The worst part was my guilt that went to bed with me every night they were there. Every single night during their visit, I'd go to sleep and promise myself that I'd be more chilled, present, and less annoying the next day. When it came time for them to leave and fly home, I felt nauseous, guilty, and just awful, like I didn't give them the best of myself when they were here. You know the feeling of regret that makes you bite the inside of your mouth and not want to eat? I had that. As soon as they'd leave, I'd text them all frantically, telling them how much I love them and how much I miss them already. And it was totally true. I did miss them. I beat myself up for 3 solid days after they left, seeking approval from my husband. I should have been more present. I should have been more relaxed, right? I so badly wanted to be that chilled, super fun house guest host with my family. One day, in my beating myself up for being a nag when my family was visiting episodes, I actually arrived at an answer for my response. I felt on edge having my house full of family because we grew up in a very small home. It was the 5 of us, my 3 siblings, myself, and my mom. I shared a room with my 2 sisters before moving into the converted garage, the one I had to access through my brother's bedroom. I used to study at the kitchen table while everyone was eating and get so bothered by their chewing that I'd, yep, nag. Shh, can't you see I'm studying? They'd snap back, Peter, it's the fucking kitchen table. We're allowed to eat. I craved space as a kid. And then as an adult, I finally got that space. That's why having my family all up in my space had me feeling anxious. It felt bloody good to figure that out. Suddenly, I wasn't so hard on myself. I just really enjoy my space, and there's nothing wrong with that. I communicated this to my mom. She said, yeah, Peter, we know that, and we totally respect this. We can stay at an Airbnb when we visit. We just want to spend time with you. I would never have my family stay in an Airbnb when they fly all the way across the world to visit me. And here's the thing. When I check in with my alignment, I don't want them to. I love having them stay with me. But I couldn't arrive at this until I explored my alignment and acknowledged the fact that for me to feel aligned, I require limits and boundaries around how long I can have house guests. And I have to be honest about these boundaries or else it will become tension in my body and tension for those around me. Phew, what a relief. Now I own it. I'm not a house guest for weeks and weeks kind of person, no matter how much I love my family. But because I can now own that, I can set boundaries around it and how long guests are welcome to stay before I start feeling like I'm sacrificing my own peace and space. When I do have house guests now, I'm fine and I can enjoy it. Introvert alert. Because I have boundaries that protect my alignment. My family is grateful too, because I can just be funny as fuck with them and not an uptight tosser. Relationships work better when we're in alignment. When you're in alignment, you let people off the hook. When you're in alignment, you don't need people to be or act a certain way. When you're in your alignment, you aren't needy. When you're in your alignment, people around you get the best of you. When you are in your alignment, people affect you less. When you are in your alignment, you're more free to choose for you. When you are in your alignment, you're clear. When you are in your alignment, others respond to your alignment. When you are in your alignment, you aren't projecting onto other people. Choose your alignment first, then be in relationship. Everything will appear different when you are in your alignment. Your heart will be more open. You won't be as easy bothered. You will be more sure of your choices. You will say yes or no and mean it. Relationships just work better when you choose for you first. Everything does. Let me tell you about a rule of the universe. The universe is made of energy and is able to read everything you feel and everything you don't feel from cosmic light years away. And your goal is to always be traveling on your highway of alignment, in your free-flowing divine tap, feeling good. The universe cannot be tricked if you say, I'm in alignment, when, in fact, you and the universe both know that you are not. You can't hide your misalignment from the universe. You can't hide it from yourself, or from your family, or from your tribe. Living in your alignment is your greatest gift to all around you. Your values are your tools for navigating life in a way that lets you feel good. And now, a letter to my little starseed. Sol, may you always wear yellow undies and crip walk to the fridge. Sometimes when I begin to write these little reminders, I loll at myself, especially this one. Because when I think about the people on our earth who absolutely nail what we're going to talk about next, it's most definitely you, the children. You little ones are the masters of this one. And I'm getting so excited for you to be here because I know how much I'm going to be able to up my game when it comes to circulating energy. Circulating energy, aka dancing outrageously at inappropriate times. Okay, sorta. What it really means is acknowledging that you are an energetic being and that energy can never be destroyed, but can only change forms. This is easy for adults to forget. We sit at a desk with a pen and paper for days or weeks in a row, trying to force clarity to just appear from the sky. We write pros and cons lists, we mind map, we do all the fancy brainstorming techniques we learn from the internet. We sit in the same spot, at the same time of day, trying to force something brand new to emerge. A lot of the time, our forcing of it blocks it, and it doesn't come. It just makes our head feel full and confused. When we ditch the desk on a random Tuesday afternoon and go surfing, head to a new coffee shop, or turn our phones off for a weekend of camping, then, aha, whoa, oh my God, I've got it. The ideas, the clarity, the solution, the insight, it's all right there. Why? Because we did what you brilliant kids do when your energy feels stuck. We moved it around and did something different. I know that if I was a brilliant idea, I wouldn't really want to flow down into an energy field of stuckness. Ew, no thanks. Ideas come to you when you ditch the desk for a day and go and jump in the ocean or walk down the street to a new coffee shop and grab a muffin. It's so true, huh? My generation, baby, creates memes like, I wish there was a waterproof notebook in my shower, or I can't stay in yoga for 60 minutes without wanting to run out and write down all of my epic ideas. We millennials know that when we are out of our I must think mode, that we are open and accessible to everything. Yet, there are still so many people living today that don't know this fact. They are out there trying to change their life by doing the same thing every day, every week, every month, and every year, and expecting all this brand new stuff to show up in their field. It just won't. Newness needs space. Everything you want is there, but it can't come to you if you're not clearing out the old and welcoming the new. And you so get this. When you feel ill, you flip your arms around and chase after butterflies. You wear tutus with gumboots until you get bored. And then you switch to a hat back to front and a leotard with wings. You're masterful at recognizing when something is stuck, and you have no tolerance for boredom. You're masterful at circulating energy. I think you wildly, amazingly brilliant children of the earth, know that this is the way. Oh, how wise you are. Don't ever stop randomly flapping your arms about and chasing butterflies. You're onto something. Love, Mum. Circulating energy. Shake it up. I'm here in a brand new cafe writing these words. When I first tried to write this book, I would sit in the same desk at my house and just tap, tap, tap away at my computer. Same time, same place, every day. And almost every day I was hitting what felt like creative blocks, or more like creative boulders. I would sit and try so hard to write. Every day was a routine. Sit, struggle, get frustrated. Do a little bit to say you did something today. Get up and do what I do at 11 a.m. What an ugly pattern I was creating. I had my routine, but I was so stuck when it came to writing. So, of course, I had to learn the lesson of circulating energy, which came in the form of a Matt Kahn video I happened upon. Matt Kahn's insights always land very powerfully for me. I feel that he is one of the most relevant teachers of our time. In this particular video, he was talking about the one reason that people are not manifesting what they want and feeling how they want to feel. I remember thinking, wow, there is only one reason.